You're listening to PodcastJuice.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to PodcastJuice.net. This is Geeked Out with Michael Dean and Q Storm. How are you, Q?
I'm a little tired. I'm back at home in Indianapolis visiting the folks, my hometown, or at least where I grew up. And we did an overnight trip to Chicago, so we just got back. And I got back just in time for the show.
All right. So today we're going to be talking about Fruitvale Station. This is the movie about the Oscar Grant situation that happened in San Francisco in the Bay Area. I can't think of the name of the director right now, but it definitely stars Michael B. Jordan. And you've seen him in a number of things over the years. For me, most notably, he was in The Wire. He was just a little boy. But now he's coming up and doing big things. So let's just get right into this movie. Q, if you want to start, go ahead. What are your thoughts on Fruitvale Station?
Well, bottom line, I thought it was a great movie. When I went to it, I wasn't, how do I put this? I went into it, you know, knowing that it was going to have a certain kind of thing to it that I wasn't sure if I was going to be down with, to be honest with you. I thought I was going to portray, you know, and let's back up. You know, this, I saw this movie, as did, you know, most of us, in the shadow of the Trayvon Martin verdict. So, of course, that played a, that you can't escape that was part of the mindset when going to see this film, at least for me. But, I was expecting to see a movie that was going to try to preach to me about, you know, this kid was going to be, you know, he was going to be portrayed as a thug, you know, as a troublemaker, this and that, whatnot. And what surprised me about the movie is that it was just so subtle, and it made so little, for the most part, it made so little of a statement about Oscar Grant. Other than just showing you a young man who, like many of us, have had issues in our lives in the past, but we tried to turn our lives around. And that's kind of how the movie starts off. It starts off with Oscar having an argument with his girlfriend, with whom he has a child. And, you know, apparently she caught him, you know, hooking up with another woman, and she had him dead to rights. And he was talking about, no, look, I'm going to turn my life around. I'm just devoted to you. That was in the past. I'm sorry. And the movie kind of takes off from there. And what I liked about it was like watching a reality show, in the fact that the camera just kind of is quietly in the corners watching this young man. And, you know, I don't want to go too deep into it just now, but the thing that really impressed me about the film was that it did not make, for the most part, it did not make any overt political statements about portraying Oscar Grant as a out and out stereotypical thug who, you know, who quote unquote had it coming, if you will. And I loved Michael B. Jordan's performance. It was a little subtle, but, you know, I think he played it like it was very realistic. It was raw. It was very realistic. There weren't any acting flares. There weren't any, you know, it wasn't like the people were acting, if you will. It really felt like a camera had been plopped down in this young man's life. And, you know, we can get a little bit deeper. I'll let you take the floor, but, you know, we can break it down a little bit more. But that was my first impression of the film.
Yeah, I knew what the movie was about going in, obviously, but I must say it really captured me in terms of, like, what the story was about. Was it's not easy to personalize for me, myself, watching that. One, you know, he was a father, obviously he's a black man. And then, of course, you know, you sort of do have some of the Trayvon stuff on your mind as you see this. But I was amazed and like how much it seemed so authentic. Like, they really captured the Bay Area in terms of the lingo and the way cats be talking out there. I mean, it was just, I imagine the person who made this, I'm curious if he is not from that area, because, I mean, it was just like, I know some cats from the Bay, and that's exactly how they talk and act, and and just even when they get on the train and the things that go on there, and you know, just the interactions with the different races, which I thought was cool of the movie, is that I'm watching this anticipating certain things to play out different ways, but it was like, actually, no, it was, people were cool. Like, he comes up to people who you think he wouldn't have anything to do with, and he was, you know, the interactions with them weren't funny. People didn't seem to look at him as like, let me back away from this guy. You know, like, I'm going to have to do it. Like, if it was a Zimmerman or somebody, like, you know, they want to pause first and expect the worst. It seemed like most of the people that he came in contact with never really flinched or anything. There was nothing funny about him. It was like he was a good kid. I mean, obviously he has issues, like a lot of people. But I was just amazed of the caricature of that particular person in this movie, how authentic it felt. The acting, again, Michael B. Jordan really did his thing on this. Like, I've seen him in things before, but I really just felt like he was the guy on the screen, and he just kind of drew out certain sort of emotions out of me when I was watching it. Some where I felt like, man, what are you doing? And then others, I'm like, this dude is trying his hardest to, you know, do whatever. The girlfriend character, I thought she was really good. The mother, I think her name was Octavia or something, the lady. She was spectacular. And I was just like, wow, like, she really conveyed that sort of mother. I've seen that sort of mother style before. So I was just like blown away with it. In terms of, you know, the events and all that, you know, I don't know how accurate everything is in that movie. I did find myself a little bit questioning, like, how do they know he did this when there was certain things that were going on where there seemed to be nobody else around? So I'm curious how they would know he did these. Now, I would imagine they just make some of this up for movies. I expect that. So I didn't really get into, like, is this accurate, you know, to what really happened. I figured this is a movie somewhat made by people who have an agenda. Now, it's not a bad agenda, but I mean, obviously everything has a spin on it. So I didn't really look at it as like, is this the actual, you know, da 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 da. I just took it as, this movie made me stop and think, and just like, it made me think like, man, life is precious. Anything can happen, which anything did in this movie. And I thought, just as a movie, I thought it was really good. I mean, exceptional. When I was there, you could audibly hear people crying toward the end of the movie. And, you know, I was fighting myself. You know, I was like, damn, I was tearing up. I was like, woo. And I said, let me sit down. You know, the credits was going. I said, let me just sit down for a bit, because I, you know, that man in me didn't want to walk out of there. You know, but powerful movie. I really loved it. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it was written and directed by Ryan Coogler, who coincidentally is going to be, the rumor is he's going to be directing Michael B. Jordan in another Rocky film, where Michael B. Jordan is going to be playing Apollo Creed's grandson, I believe.
Wow.
He's going to be trained by Rocky.
I mean, hey, I'm not knocking the success of what other opportunities. I would have never imagined that, but whatever. That's pretty interesting.
Well, that's another show. I mean, I could talk at length with another show. But
Apollo Creed, the prequel years, hilarious.
But like I said, I took a trip to Chicago overnight, and I kind of got into it with a friend up there. She was saying how she refuses to go see this film. Well, let me back up. She told me that she had read some interviews by Ryan Coogler, the writer director of the film, and he admitted that he kind of added some things in there, which, you know, you have to do to make the story dramatic, you know. Like, for example, the one scene, and there are some scenes that I'm like, okay, I know you're trying to manipulate me. Maybe I've been programmed, but I just don't see that this would happen this way. But one of the scenes is where he's at the deli counter, and this white chick is, very... not waspy, but, you know, very kind of like artsy, bohemian type of chick.
Did that not really happen?
I believe my friend told me that she read where the director had added that scene.
Interesting.
And you know, so there's a scene where this white girl is at the deli, or is that this kind of trendy market? But
is where he worked actually.
It's right. It's where he works. Right.
Where he used to work.
Right. And he approaches her because she's looking. She's trying to find what kind of fish to buy so she can fry for her husband's black friends. And you know, you expect in a film like this, and maybe this was the director's intent, but as you were saying, Mike, you expect in this film that he's going to kind of go off on that, right? But no, he stops to help this young lady. He gets his grandmother on the phone, on his cell phone, and hands the cell phone over to the young lady to talk to his grandma. And you know, there are a few scenes like that in the film where I'm like, okay, you know, you really don't have to make this kid out to be more than he possibly was to make me feel sorry for him at the end of the movie. Because, I mean, he could have been, you know, he could have been a thug. Even if he was a bad character, I still would feel sorry for him at the end of the movie. So there are some scenes in here where I think were touching, but they were obviously kind of a little on the fake side just to kind of tug at your heartstrings more. But it didn't really matter to me. I really appreciated it. It's just, you know, I knew I was being manipulated, and there are a couple other scenes like that. But, you know, all in all, I could let it go so that the director could tell the story that he wanted to tell.
Yeah, you know, when you get to the part where they're at the train station and, you know, the police have them and holding them, and then the woman that you talked about from the deli comes out of the car, I was thinking to myself, I was like, damn, that's a hell of a coincidence.
Yeah.
That she exactly was there. And that's why I was wondering, was that real? Like, did she film this? I almost wanted to go look for the other footage. But, you know, I was just like, why would they put that in there if it wasn't real? But then I was like, man, whatever. I just say, you know, it's just a good movie. But, yeah, to hear that may not have happened. Yeah, I guess. Like I said, I can't look at this movie to actually give me the true story because who knows? I don't really know, but.
Well, see, some people might say that scenes like that were put into the film to, and, you know, I apologize to anyone out there, but I'm just saying what the psychology could be, is that to make white people seeing this movie feel more involved with the story. You know what I'm saying? Like, to wash away the quote-unquote guilt, maybe.
Interesting.
Because to say, well, some of us do care. Some of us are good people. Now, that's not my position. I think we just put it. I think there's a little bit of that just to make it more universal, to show that not everyone is capable of the evil that the cop did, you know, at the end of the day. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I would say this, you know, watching that movie again, you got to be very careful with a movie like this, and it's something that's is a real life thing, because again, adding scenes like that obviously take away from what actually happened and some of the motivations and different things. But I would say, based off of this movie, I don't really feel like the police officer. Well, here's the two things, since I did read a little bit about this after I saw this movie. I started thinking about what happened at the end, and I just figured, you know what, it seemed like it was a tragic mistake, because they didn't really make the police seem like he was being like, the guy who actually shot him, he didn't really hardly say anything, and he wasn't like he was acting like some asshole. I just thought that he actually made a mistake. You know, you question, why would you pull the gun out? You know, and so when I read about this later, you know, at least according to the police officer, he was thinking he was pulling out his taser, right? But he pulled out the gun by mistake. Again, a tragic mistake. But I was questioning whether or not it was like a racial sort of thing. Maybe the trial, and maybe if he got off easy, you could maybe put that on that. But I just thought this was just really almost wrong place at the wrong time. Somebody made a mistake and it cost somebody's life. But I don't think he hated black people. Even the officer who was a real asshole, to me, like, in the end, he's the one sitting, I don't know if this really happened, but he's the one holding his hand like, dude, you can't die. Like, come on. Which I was like, wow, you know what? I wouldn't have expected him to do that. Again, yeah, I don't know how much of that is true or not, though.
Yeah, that was another one of those moments. I definitely had to call bullshit on that. That was offensive to me.
How so?
That was taking the, and this is no offense to any of our Caucasian listeners, but that was taking the scene with the white lady and making it way too far, trying to make it way too comfortable for people in the audience. I didn't like that at all. This cop who had grabbed this kid by the head and shoved him out of the train, used the N-word with him, so on and so forth. I didn't buy that at all. All of a sudden, he's going to be concerned about this kid's life. That was bullshit to me. Complete bullshit.
Yeah, I didn't look at it like that. Like I said, I don't know if it really happened or not. If it happened, then, you know, it is what it is. But in terms of framed in this movie, I just thought it was interesting. I was like, wow. You know, it's like, again, for me, I was looking at this and I was like, there was really no sort of racism in this at all. Whether that actually is true or not, I'm just saying in terms of this movie, I was expecting this other thing, and it didn't really play on that at all. I don't think it played on racism at all. And I thought that was interesting about it. Now, you may think that they're doing that to appease white people. Maybe. I don't know. But I thought it was very interesting.
Well, you say there was no racism involved. I mean, that may be true, but you look at the fact that, now, I don't know if this part was true. I don't want to give this away because it kind of is critical to what happens at the end. But he runs into another person, which to me was a little kind of like, come on, that's a little bit of a coincidence. But he runs into another person who starts a fight with him.
Oh, right.
And that person is white. Mm-hmm. And you didn't see any of them hemmed up. You only saw four black people hemmed up. So, you know, be that as it, you can call that as you will. I'm not prepared to say there was no, based on the context of the film, I don't even know what happened in real life. All I know is that the young man was shot. I'm talking about the film. Based on what I saw in the film, I'm not ready to say that it was not completely, there was no racism involved, because like I say, it took two of them to fight and you only saw four black people hemmed up.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree. But, yeah, so, I mean, like I said, I really, really enjoyed this movie. I kind of want to see it again with some other people. It's a good movie to kind of, like, watch and talk about. But, yeah, I think the one that really did it for me was at the end. They showed some real-life footage, like they showed the daughter, and she was a little older. And I was just like, man, that's the ultimate. I mean, I feel sorry for her at the end of the day, right? That was her dad. He didn't get to come home. You know, and I just, that's for me the whole part of the movie. Again, it was just, you know what was going to happen. And then just to see it sort of play out and then to see that little girl. And I'm like, man, he's not going to come home to her. And I think the other part that got me is when the girlfriend went to her sister's house to pick up the baby. And just like, how do you explain that? And they're sitting in the shower. I was like, damn, man, this shit is out of control, man. I was like, it's fucked up. So, yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, again, I gave it 4.5 out of 5 stars with the caveat that it's very clear that the filmmaker, he went a little bit overboard in trying to portray Oscar Grant as... I don't want to say as an overly nice person, because I don't know the young man, but...
So I wouldn't take him as being overly nice. I mean, he was...
We're not overly nice. That's not the right choice of words. Trying to... Kind of like the movie 42, where they really portrayed Jackie Robinson as such a... More showing him as a complete, total human being. They portrayed him more as an icon, and you wanted to see kind of like the whole person. And you do see that here as well, but like those scenes I was telling you about with the woman at the deli counter. There's another scene where he almost is brought to tears over a hit and run with an animal. There's another scene where it's New Year's Eve after midnight. They're on the street in San Francisco, and this white guy just comes up and starts talking to him, and it's just like, I would love to live in that world, but I just don't see that world happening. You know what I mean?
That really shocked me. I don't know. To me, I wonder if that probably really did happen, because there's other people, real life people that were there that could, you know, back that up and say, yeah, we went to this store and da 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 da. But again, I hear what you're saying. I think that, to me, this movie doesn't make him out to be any sort of saint at all, in my opinion. It just makes him out to be a regular person who, again, unfortunately, there are a lot of people who have been to jail for dumb stuff that they've done. There's not a lot of people, but I know personally some people who do sell weed. They're not balling drug dealers, but they have to make ends meet. Some people do that. So I didn't see anything out of the ordinary. I've known a lot of guys like that. And, you know, he's trying to work, but he's got a kid. You know, he's still very young, so he doesn't really have sort of the rational thinking. And he obviously has anger issues or whatever, you know, going on. And he's like, it's almost being drawn between two different worlds, like the regular sort of world where you can sort of raise your family and be a man, where there's the other world where he's like being drawn into almost the underworld, just on the surface of it, which a lot of people are. And I didn't see him as a thug. I just saw him as a normal, you know, there's a certain segment of the population that lives that sort of life.
Right. No.
And my expectation wasn't that he was a thug anyway, but I didn't. So I don't know. I guess. And then the interactions with the people, again, it's funny to me because I look at where I live, you know, very small percentage of black people. And you may expect, you would think that, okay, a white guy is not going to speak to this black kid wearing the uniform, you know. But I think the reality is, depending on where you live, and this was the Bay Area, where there's a lot of black people mixed with white people and other nationalities in that particular sort of arena, where I don't think it is that out of the ordinary for things like what happened on that train. That's the Bay all the way. Like, and the music came on, and everybody, it didn't matter what race you see, was multiple people in there, and they would act like that. That would happen in that sort of situation. I mean, that's why I said they really captured the Bay Area. But, you know, now Seattle might not happen like that. Maybe where you're at, it may not happen like that. But I know there's a certain segment of nationalities who are used to being around each other so much, where they don't, even if he has the uniform on, like he's got the white tee, you know, they're not afraid of that because everybody wears that. So they wouldn't think that, let me be guardful of this person. Well, no, I see that person every day. You know,
Well, Well, for me, there was no mistaking what the point of that scene was, where the guy comes up and talks to him. Because it was very manipulative. It was to show that the point of that scene was to show that there was a chance for Oscar to make it out of a situation. And so the filmmaker put that in there to me to make us feel even more bad when what happens at the end. But be that as it may, I liked the scene. I just questioned if it would really go down like that. But I knew what the scene was doing. It was trying to manipulate me as far as I'm concerned. But I just went with it because I think there needed to be. And I put this in my review that I was fortunate enough to have published on Shadow and App. I just had to give myself a plug.
Hilarious.
I'm very happy about that, man. But let's see, you made me lose my train of thought. To me, it reminded me of a scene in one of my top 10 favorite movies, Boys in the Hood, where Ricky, Trey's friend, gets shot down by, I guess, a blood, okay? And, like, maybe a week later or so, some time has passed, and you see the camera pushes into his mother, who's crying, and then it cuts to the shot of his grades, or his acceptance letter to get into college.
Right.
And, you know, that scene was very manipulative. But you know what? Sometimes sometimes I let that go because I know what the film is trying to do, and I want to feel that way. I want to feel a certain way to get the message of what the film's trying to tell me. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, I don't disagree about being manipulative. I mean, most movies are manipulative in their scenes. So, again, I don't know.
This was like blatant, but again, I didn't mind.
Yeah, I don't. Like I said, I like the movie. Yes, it does. It's a tearjerker movie, you know, which a lot of tearjerker movies are going to play on your emotions. This one is no exception to that. It just happens to be it's a true story, and it happens to be one that probably can hit us probably a little more personal than it does some other people. But you know, I enjoyed it. So let's wrap it up. What's your last, your ultimate thoughts on this?
Well, there's one thing I have to say, and I'm sure these people are not listening, but I just want to say it anyway. To the people that I've been talking to about this movie and people that I've heard discussing this movie, and I will say some names. I will say, you know, Afro Nerd and his crew, referring to this movie as poverty porn. I really take offense to that. I really do take offense to that, because while I like Afro Nerd's message, and for the most part, I think saying that about this film, not having seen it, and there are some people that I've spoken to over the last few days that refuse to go see this movie because they say they're tired of how it portrays black youth. What I would say to them is that you're really kind of not really opening your mind, because if you're going to say that this movie portrays black youth in the stereotypical manner that you're accustomed to, then you're wrong, because this movie is not about poverty porn. Matter of fact, Trayvon's. See, I said.
Whoa!
Wow! Oscar Grant's family, as depicted in this film, is not doing that bad. Okay. Yes, he has a daughter out of wedlock, but he's committed to his girlfriend. He's willing to fight to get his job back. He's willing to do whatever he has to get to do the right thing. He closes the door on his past. There's a scene. Very touching scene where he, I don't want to give it away, but it has to do with the decision he makes to either sell weed or not sell weed. I don't want to give it away. But to call this poverty porn and compare it to movies like Precious and other movies like that, that's just a grave injustice to this film. And to say you're not going to see this film because you think it portrays black youth in a stereotypical manner, or because you don't want to see another film about a young kid who made bad choices and gets shot. I mean, I don't know what you would have the filmmakers do. Should these stories not be told? I mean, it really kind of pisses me off. You know, there are some exploitative films out there that I can see you talking about, but this is not one of them. This is just a movie that shows you a young man's life who was trying to do the right thing, and through certain no circumstances of his choosing, he ends up dead. So to say you're not going to see this movie, number one, to protest against this black film, this black filmmaker, I don't get that, okay? So just in my rambling way, I just wanted to say, you know, wake up. You know, wake the hell up. This is, you know.
All right.
All our movies don't have to be, you know, preached, you know, all feel good, yuppie, black professional, whatever movies.
All right.
All of our stories have to be told. So you go see this, and then go see Baggage Claim.
Hilarious. All right. Moving right along. So yeah, definitely check out Fruitvale Station. Great movie. Great acting in this movie. The only last thing I would say, the only thing, and this is, you could say it's a nitpick or not. It's really not a nitpick. But did you notice that there was like a couple of scenes where we just go out of focus slightly? And it's enough for even I notice it, and I don't notice stuff like that. I was like,
well, I don't,
because I don't care about stuff like that, but it actually drew me out. I was like, whoa, what? I didn't thought maybe something going on in my theater or something, but I noticed it was like, it went out of focus a couple of times. It was just very odd to me.
Well, I don't recall anything that stood out to make me remember it, but I wouldn't be surprised, because it was a very, you know, verite style of filmmaking. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
Yeah, but no complaint. I just like, you know, keep the quality high. All right. So I did want to talk about something else that happened a couple weeks ago. Comic-Con.
Just
went down. And there was a lot of great things that happened there. You know, a lot of the comic book movies were more information was unveiled, more footage. Before we get into the big granddaddy of info, and I'm sure we'll have to talk about that, I just wanted to go back a little bit. Something that caught my attention was, because I'm just so hyped on this character, was Captain America. You know, they had a whole Captain America Winter Soldier press conference sort of panel, and had all the actors there. But apparently they showed like a taser sizzle reel. Did you hear about this, Q?
No, I heard about the other big news, which is something you're going to get into.
So on this one, they showed the footage. It was Captain America. He is in an elevator. I guess he's at SHIELD or something. And as the elevator stops, like all these people start getting on the elevator, like different agents and stuff, right? And Cap kind of notices, he's a sharp dude, so he notices one guy is kind of sweating a lot, and then he notices another guy's kind of got his hand by his holster. So once the elevator gets to this one floor, Cap just turns around and says, "Look, anybody who wants to get off the elevator, this is your time to get off right now." And nobody gets off, so the elevator closes. And then Cap commences to whoop everybody's ass in that elevator. like he just takes them all down. Like they were, again, I guess it's to show as if they were agents of SHIELD, but apparently he got issues with SHIELD. And so then they show say there's another scene with Robert Redford, and he's like telling Cap, like, look, you know, everything is not as black and white as it was back in your day. Things are different. And so I guess sort of like the theme is like there are some people that work for SHIELD that Cap would consider bad guys, and he's got a problem. You know, he can't work with these people. He's the problem with this organization. So it's like he's kind of going against SHIELD, trying to come at him. And then, of course, they show, you know, the Winter Soldier, which, spoiler, it's not really a spoiler. It's maybe a spoiler to Cap, but the Winter Soldier is Bucky. So of course they show some of that, and they said they show the Falcon, Anthony Mackie, and the other big star of this movie is Scarlett Johansson. Black Widow plays a big part in this, and also Samuel Jackson. But I can't wait to see that movie. That movie sounds like it's going to be off the chain. And then they showed, of course, they had one for Thor, and the big takeaway that I remember with them talking about was they showed footage of that, and they showed I guess Thor was fighting Loki or something, but they insinuate that Loki cuts off Thor's hand.
Oh.
And like he's got his hand chopped off. So I don't know what's going on in that movie, but definitely I want to see it. Of course they announced the Avengers 2, Age of Ultron is the title.
Oh yes.
And obviously that's the crossover event that just happened this summer. I don't think they'll play into that per se, but of course this will introduce Ultron into the Avengers world. Apparently Thanos will not be in Avengers 3, but he will be something to do in Guardians of the Galaxy, which the Osho showed footage from. And I think they were saying that Thanos will be like way down the road. He will be like the Emperor, and it'll all come to a head a few more movies down the road, maybe Avengers 3 or beyond, where he is like, you know, okay, this is the granddaddy and we have to deal with this situation. So Marvel definitely coming hard. You know, they did also show footage of Guardians of the Galaxy. I heard that looked really good. They had all the actors there as well. I think that was all Marvel really showed. I mean, that was enough. That was a lot. So DC, of course, they have the Superman 75th anniversary panel or something like that, and Zack Snyder comes out. You know, he thanks the audience for the success of Man of Steel and says, yes, we are going to do Man of Steel 2. And then he brings out, and I can't think of the brother's name right now,
Harry Lennox.
They bring the brother out, and he starts reading from The Dark Knight Returns, the Frank Miller book, and he reads that, I'm paraphrasing, that whole line about Clark, you know, in your quiet times or whatever, you always remember I'm the one who beat you. You know, I have my hand on your throat sort of thing. And then they show the logo for Man of Steel 2, which is the Batman-Superman logo It's got the Superman logo, and then behind it is the Batman logo. And all heads exploded at that point. It was like, Man of Steel 2 featuring Batman. Wow. So, Q, what's your thoughts on it?
I don't know, man. Of course, being a comic book head, I was like, oh, wow. You know, I was blown away too, right? However, you look at how Marvel did it, how they their marketing plan, that roller coaster was flawless. They put out all those movies, and they did the teasers at the end of each movie leading up to the Avengers. So there was some buzz. There was some buzz going into the Avengers. This, it seems like, it just feels to me like DC is saying, we got to do this now. We got to rush it out. We got to let them know we're going to do something. It just doesn't seem like, you know what I'm saying? It just doesn't seem like it's planned or that it's thought out. It just seems like they're answering the call to say, hey guys, you guys gave us Man of Steel and you didn't show us any kind of teaser trailer at the end of it. And you're talking all this, you're telling us about all these stupid little Easter eggs that were in Man of Steel that went by on the screen for like 0.99 milliseconds. So it seems to me this is just something that they cooked up at the last second to get us excited. Now, it worked, but I can't imagine they're going to do this the right way. Number one, I mean, you just established Superman's universe, and it's such a new Superman that you got, you know, we still haven't settled in with that, okay? So on top of that, with the new Man of Steel, which I don't know if it's going to be called Man of Steel World's Finest, I don't know. But now you got to recast Batman, so you got two things hitting your audience: this new Man of Steel, the new Superman, and this Batman that's not going to be Christian Bale. And it seems like to me what you should have done was have some sort of Easter egg involving Batman in the first Man of Steel, so that it doesn't seem so tacked on. But you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm thoroughly excited. I think for a Superman fan of the movie, I would feel a little shortchanged because, again, I agree, barely have established Superman. I mean, we've only just seen the pre-years of Superman. Literally, he's only been Superman for like a day in the movie. So we haven't, you know what I mean? So he hasn't really become the hero of hope yet. But I will say this. I think they have a unique opportunity to do something totally different and unexpected, because normally you would expect maybe to have another Man of Steel movie and then possibly even have another Batman movie. So I actually like that they're going very unorthodox here and said, no, let's put Batman in the next one. Like, fucking figure it out. Get him in this next movie. I love to see what they're going to do. Now, I have hopes that I know that Zach and David, I don't know if Nolan is even involved in this, they do quality work. I may not like all of it, but it's not terrible. So I know that they're going to do something interesting. I like that they are taking a challenge, because it's going to be a challenge to cast Batman when most people are so infatuated, rightly so, with the Christian Bale performance and those other movies. And now to come so quickly right into this, like you said, most people, it's unexpected, but I can't wait to see it. One, because I just can't wait to see those characters together in a movie and what that will be like, irregardless of who plays them. I know they're going to get somebody good. Who they could go unknown, just like they did with Superman. I didn't really know that guy, but I feel like he nailed this character. So I know they'll get somebody good. I'm curious what the story will be like. I can only imagine, like, maybe Bruce Wayne will see what's going on with Superman, and it's like, you know what, I got to come out and do... I mean, so it's like, how do they introduce him? Has he already been Batman? Are they going to waste time doing they can't really do an origin unless it's in flashbacks. So is he just becoming Batman, or has he been Batman for a while, but for some reason Clark has never made the trek to go over there and see what the hell is going on? You know, it's very interesting how they do it. right?
Is it the Batman from the trilogy we just saw? You know,
yeah, just- that I would hope not, but I could see. Cause I think I was heard somebody was saying something how they could sort of shoehorn that in. I think it would be some bullshit, but they could probably try and do that. I hope they don't, because I don't want that particular Batman. I want the detective, I'm smarter than you, Batman, you know, because that's the only way he can go against. I'm sure they're going to have them sort of fight each other or something, you know, against each other at first. And the only way Batman can beat Superman is going to be through the mind, because that first film establishes you're not messing with this Superman. Like, he's raw. Like, he will destroy the whole city to get you. So you're not. It's not going to be a fight fist for bronze. It has to be a mental game, and that's something that Batman can do. Like, if he's really, really smart, Batman. So I'm curious to see how they do it. There's so much unknown about that, but I like it. I like that they're doing something different. They have to do something different, because Marvel has laid the game for Marvel, and they can either try and follow that path, which I don't think they could do with their characters, or they can do something totally opposite, which is to just go right into the second movie, boom, Batman's here, and then probably the third one or probably some damn near Justice League or something crazy. But yeah, I'm curious to see what they do, man. It's gonna be a wild movie.
I don't know. I just can't see that they're gonna do this right. I don't know how else they could do it. If they're going to introduce another character from DC Universe, this is probably the best way to do it, because there's the world's finest brand, you know, that's Batman, Superman, world's finest. But and by the way, I read something in Entertainment Weekly, I believe it was. There were like five actors. I don't know if these were five actors that Entertainment Weekly polled people, or if these were the five actors that Entertainment Weekly came up with as five candidates and they did a poll, or if these are the actual five candidates to play Bruce Wayne. But I know one of them was Benedict Cumberbatch. One of them was going to be playing like an offshoot of Batman. It would be maybe they were suggesting he would play Batman himself. The guy from the last film who played, you know, the cop. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, I think his name is.
Yeah, that would be horrible.
I think that would be bad. But the one actor that they had as a selection, I think he would be excellent, is the guy from Game of Thrones. His name is, I might be saying this wrong, Nikolai Coster-Waldau. He played in Oblivion. He was Tom Cruise's. He was Morgan Freeman's right hand man in Oblivion, that movie.
And he's in, vaguely. I can't picture his face.
He's in Game of Thrones. He plays the jerk who got his hand chopped off. What's his name? He's a Lannister, Jaime Lannister.
I can't picture him right off the bat.
But I think he would be excellent as Bruce Wayne. He looks. He kind of has that build. He's a good looking guy. He just needs to, you know. I'm a literalist. Bruce Wayne is a brunette. He would have to dye his hair dark, but I think he would make a good Bruce Wayne.
Okay.
Whoever. You know who else would make a good Bruce Wayne? I'm throwing this guy's hat into the ring. The guy from Lost, Josh Holloway. I don't know if you remember.
I think I know who you're talking about.
He played. I can't remember his name from that show. But he was also in the last Mission Impossible in the opening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I think whoever they get, I want him to be like, what's the guy's name, Henry Cavill? Henry Cavill. I want him to be yoked like him. Like, because Superman was yoked. He was a super. I want Batman to be yoked out. Like, I want him to look like this dude is serious. He could have all the padding, but they didn't have no padding on this dude from what I could tell. He was just like, that was a superhero. I wanted it to look like somebody that's, okay, this cat can be out here doing all this physical activity and getting it in. I just want to see that.
Uh-huh.
Some like superhero. I don't care who, to be honest, I don't care who they get. Because I know they'll get somebody good.
But I wouldn't be surprised. It would not surprise me at all if they just do a cameo appearance of Batman in this movie.
Nah, they can't do that. Not the expectation they just set. You can't read that quote from that book and then introduce it like that, and it just be a cameo. It would be a flopped out. People would be pissed. They can hang it all up if they do that.
But here's the thing: if they were planning, the reason I think this is rushed and just
I'm not saying it's not rushed. It probably
I'm not saying you are. I'm saying the reason I think it was rushed is that if they were going to if you're DC and you're Warner Brothers. And you are the film distributor or the film studio. I mean, who are you going to be looking to see, well, how should we do this? You're going to be looking to Marvel Studios that made billions and billions of dollars with all these movies that they put out leading up to the Avengers. And in each of those movies, you had a little teaser at the end of the credits.
Right.
Why didn't they do that?
Because they weren't in planning on making a Batman Superman movie. That's obvious.
Well, they should have been, and that's what scares.
But again, they have to look at, their movies are billion-dollar movies. Like we've done 3 Batman movies that are highly successful. They're not gonna walk away from that. That's why I'm pretty sure they were probably like, you know what, Superman's doing pretty good. But we need to get the money, and we got somebody that can make us some money. So why don't we just put both of them suckers in the movie? I can see the executive saying that. He don't care about the story. He's just like, I need Batman in this next movie. You can either make it happen, or you won't work on this next movie. So I can see Zach and him like, okay, we'll make it happen.
That should have been the thinking before they even started production on Man of Steel.
Well, they probably thought Man of Steel was going to be as big as maybe The Dark Knight or something, which. Not to say they can't be, but obviously it's not going to do that sort of numbers. It's still very successful. But, I mean, again, they know they're not going to walk away from Batman, the character. And, again, they're not thinking about the story. Ultimately, I don't think they really care. They're just like, we need to get some money. Well, we have a billion-dollar player sitting right. We got Jordan sitting right there. You're going to put Jordan in this team. I don't care if you knew you thought he was going to be in the team or not. He's going to be on this team because we got to win.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying DC has proven that I don't know why they did not put a teaser at the end of Man of Steel, because when the first Iron Man came out, they didn't think Iron Man was a B, maybe C-list character. But they still put a little teaser at the end of that.
Well, I mean, yeah, I agree with you. But I think – I'd assume that and they didn't, same thing, they're not necessarily doing with Batman. They're not going to play it as if they're Marvel. They would be conceding that Marvel is doing it right if they were to do that. And I don't expect them to follow Marvel that hard because, again, that's a Marvel thing to set the trend to do that. But if every comic book, I don't see DC's not going to follow their lead. Just on ego probably not going to allow them to put, the after credits sort of footage in there, which I wish they would.
But I don't know why they would. I mean, that's something that's been done before Marvel was doing it. It's not like you do that.
The ones who've made that expectation in superhero movies. Like, oh, Marvel, so that's why we sat there thinking Batman, Superman. No, they ain't gonna do that because this ain't Marvel. They're like, we're not gonna do that.
Well, they're not gonna do that, and that means they're gonna do it wrong.
Not necessarily, because again, when you walk, as we even did on this show, the granddaddy of announcement and buzz was not Avengers 2, was Superman and Batman. So, I mean, they know they have these characters that they can shock the world with if they do it right. So I give them credit. They didn't have to do the buzz. They just shocked everybody and blew the show away. Now they have to deliver that. That's another thing. But, I mean, in terms of them having anticipation and buzz, through the roof. Like, we all want to see those characters on the screen. So they're going to do it. Whether or not they announced it at the end of that movie or they did it at Comic-Con, obviously it was still smart enough for them to do it at Comic-Con because they had something to announce. So there you go. Like, if they had put it in the movie, yeah, it could have been, but it wouldn't have had nothing to, they would have not been able to counter Avengers and all those other Marvel movies that's coming that's going to blow the game out. So they say, you know what? They may have even just made the decision, you know what? We got to go on Comic-Con and blow this bitch down. What can we do? Fuck it, let's just do it.
I'll put it this way. You can do it good or you can do it better. Now, maybe the way they did it was good. I'm saying it would have been better if we had seen, and shout out to Daryl B. from the comic shop. He put it best. You put a little scene at the end of that movie, of the credits of Man of Steel, where Metropolis has basically been ruined and you just see, you go through the credits, and you cut to like a tight shot on the computer screen of Superman flying off or whatever, I don't know. And you see a black gloved hand come in and click the computer screen off, and you hear the voice say, this bears further investigation or something like that. Boom.
That would have been better if they had the idea to do that movie, which I don't think they did. So that's what I'm saying.
And that's what I'm afraid of. They're not thinking ahead. It's all patchwork together.
Well, I think they were thinking ahead to do. They were, if you listen to what they were saying when that movie came out, they were thinking we were going to immediately do Man of Steel 2 and then go Justice League. I think after the fact, they saw that, you know what, we can either win by doing this or doing this. And I assume they just said, let's change up and do this because, yeah, we could do another Superman movie if that's what we originally planned, but that ain't going to work. Now, if they would have had in their mind of, we're going to go straight from Superman into Batman, I agree with what you said. That would have been the point, but I don't think they had that in their mind.
All right.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to mention one other thing I saw in Entertainment Weekly. And this kind of made me sick, man. They did another poll about who should play Luke Skywalker Jr. I don't know if that's the character that's going to be the character's name, but for the upcoming Star Wars, that's not. They were just saying who should play Luke's son.
Oh.
And the two actors I recall, both are great actors, but they don't need to step anywhere near this role. Ryan Gosling and Leonardo DiCaprio.
I don't know. I mean, the whole Luke's son thing, where they get that from. But
well, I thought that was going to be the story, that it's going to show the twins.
Well, the twins are Han Solo and Princess Leia's kids, not Luke.
Oh, that's right. What about that? You are correct, yes. I don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Well, one thing we can so they was announced. Some of it was announced today or yesterday, but they had better had announced this that John Williams will be back for the music for the new movies. They definitely put that out there the other day. That would have been. I don't think they could have made them movies without his music. That would be outrageous to me.
Well, if you look at all seven Harry Potter movies, right? I think the first one, maybe the first two. I know the first one.
This is Star Wars.
Hold on. John Williams did the score for the first one, and then for the remaining ones, they just took the main theme, but they brought in new composers each time. Because if you look at it, if they're going to put out a Star Wars every year, the man's got to be up there in age. He can't be going.
Yes, he can.
Okay.
At least let him write the music. He doesn't play it, but he can. Listen, it'd be one thing if, like, the music didn't really matter. But in Star Wars, the music matters. It's just as part of the movie as everything else going on in that movie. And you can't not have the classic theme. You can't not have all the little things going on. It's just that's his stamp is on that. Like you have, if they had brought somebody else, they would have to play all his shit to me for otherwise don't even, you can't do it. Like his music is just so entwined. His feel, it'd be like it'd be like saying I'm gonna make Purple Rain 2, but it's not gonna be Prince's music. Well, that's ridiculous. Like that is a part of the movie. Like it has to be that composer's take on it.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I would love to see John Williams do it again. I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised if they co-op his main theme. That you can't have. That you have to have in it. But then the rest of it, there's nothing tied to any of the previous movies. I don't see that would be a problem.
It would for me. So anyway, he's back. I wanted to backtrack a little bit to. So 2015, that is when this Batman Superman movie is supposed to come out. That is when this Avengers 2 movie has come out. Also, this is when the Star Wars movie is going to come out.
Wow.
Yeah. A couple of other prominent releases that are at least announced for 2015. Avatar 2, which would be humongous. There's some that even have dates here. So let's see. Terminator 5.
Oh, my God.
Independence Day 2.
This is all 2015?
2015. Pirates of the Caribbean 5. The Ant-Man movie will be coming out. The Hunger Games is coming out. There's another James Bond movie for November of that year.
Hey, you know what? I tell you what, if Hollywood, if I read anything about Hollywood not making money in 2015, it's going to be a hoax. Something Hollywood is a black hole of a money pit or something, because they're going to be killing it in 2015 from what I'm hearing from you.
Yeah, it's a Jurassic Park movie on deck for that. This is a shocker to me. Prometheus 2, 2015. Wow. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon 2. Like, really?
And see, it's all sequels. Yep. Well, for the most part.
For the most part, you're right. Mission Impossible, another one of those.
Are you kidding? Really? Mission Impossible 6, huh? Oh, no, 5.
Says, really?
That's the co-host. Yeah.
Well, yeah, man. So these movies, I mean, they're going hard. 2015 is going to be heavy. Heavy, heavy. So that's going to be very interesting.
I just wish I could buy stock in celluloid or something in a movie theater or something like that.
Yeah, well, hey, man. I would say buy some stock if you can in Disney, because I'm pretty sure they're going to tear it up. They got Star Wars and the Avengers.
Wow. Yeah,
even if they're whack, they're going to make a gang of movies. A gang of money.
Interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, 2015. That's gonna be a lot of. Nah, I'm just gonna jump over to 2014 real quick. Guardians of the Galaxy, Transformers.
See, the Guardians of the Galaxy. That I have to be honest. I don't know that much about that property at all. It doesn't do.
Well, you haven't seen anything. I think when you see what it is, you'll be like, you'll be interested to see it. I haven't seen the footage, but from what I've seen, what I know of those characters and just where it takes place and what I've heard about this, I'm very interested to see this movie. This is like the biggest gamble to me for Marvel. It's a very science fiction and there's sort of comic elements to it and superheroes.
What I mean is I'm not even familiar with the comic book.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And it's such a big scope sort of a movie to do. I'm curious to see how they pull this off. Like, you got CGI characters in this thing with real people, so it'd be very interesting. And they're unknown sort of characters to the general public. Captain America, Guardians of the Galaxy, X-Men? Yeah, the X-Men movie, which they also showed some footage at the Comic-Con. I'm not going to spoil it, but I did see Wolverine yesterday, and at the end of that, you know, in true Marvel tradition, they put something at the end of that to get you ready for the next one, and yes, it's going down.
Wait, at the end of the Wolverine is out now?
Yeah, yeah.
I see, okay.
Yeah. And from my understanding, you know, that I think I want to say they shot that, like, later, like, I don't know if they necessarily shot that during the making of the real movie, of the Wolverine movie. But again, Marvel, they got it all planned out. So they can put that shit in there. Amazing Spider-Man comes out next year, the second one. Next year is going to be just as crazy as far as comic book movie. Then RoboCop, the new reboot is coming out.
What'd you say after RoboCop?
I said it's a new reboot with Samuel Jackson's in it.
Oh, Samuel Jackson's in the RoboCop film?
Yes, yeah.
That brother's keep getting work, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He just doesn't star in any movies anymore, though. That kind of, I don't know what's going on with that. But maybe he doesn't.
Why should he?
I just want to say, maybe he doesn't have to, but anyway. Let's see.
RoboCop. What about The Hobbit? Come on, man. Give it up. Part 2?
That must be next year. Yeah, I'm not. Is that this year? Does it come out this year, like Christmas or something, maybe?
The only movie I know that's coming out is Thor in November.
Okay. Yeah, The Hobbit. I may have to try and watch that again. I just couldn't get into it for some reason. It was kind of, I don't know, weird. But anyway, Yeah, The Hobbit is December this year.
I can't wait. And, you know, I'm being stupid, but because the Lord of the Rings movies, I gotta tell you, man. I mean, I read those books maybe 3 times. I was all into Dungeons and Dragons, the whole thing. That's my stuff right there. But that last one, I'm not gonna go. We've talked about it before. That I don't know what that was.
Yeah, it was. I don't know, man. It looked great. You know, it's well made. It just, I don't get the story, and it just seems so long and drawn out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I'm not. I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm not that excited. I'll go see it, but I'm not. It's not gonna be on my Friday night must go see when it opens list.
Yeah. Man, moving away from movies. You seen any TV shows lately of you want to mention?
Man, what have I been just? I've been watching True Blood. You know, the new season of that.
Okay.
And it's going down on this season. They've got the vampires all hemmed up. The humans are fighting back. With these new weapons and that show just won't quit, man. They go all out. I mean, nudity, violence, you know, not on the level of Walking Dead, but that show's just crazy. I mean, I do highly recommend it.
Yeah, I'm probably like 2 or 3 seasons behind, but I will definitely catch it one day, catch back up on it. It's a good show, definitely good. I've been watching, at least the last couple of days, catching up on Fallen Skies.
You know what? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, so season 3, I've been watching. I watched like 3 or 4 episodes. And, you know, it's not the best TV in the world to me or anything, but I don't know. I do find it engaging enough that I want to keep watching it. I mean, it's science fiction, and it's, for the most part, well made. So I just been watching it. You know, it's something to watch. I'm not loving it, but I have watched like 3 or 4 episodes, and you know, it's entertaining. They leave them with these sort of cliffhangerish sort of ending. You know, you kind of want to see what's going to happen next. So I'll give it credit for that. I'm intrigued by what's going to happen. But go ahead and say what you're going to say.
No, I watched the trailer for this new season. I think you were the one that told me about it. And that thing blew me away. I was like, man, okay, let me go back and watch the first 2 seasons again to catch up. And I figured I'm never going to be able to do that. I don't even see the show on DVD yet, the first season on DVD yet. So I tried to watch, just pick up on the 3rd season, because I guess there's a new batch of aliens now.
Yep.
So, but I haven't had a chance to. I mean, they're sitting on my DVR. I think I've got like 10 episodes waiting for me. But
Man. It's actually, I think it's gotten better as a show.
Okay.
You know, it's some stuff going on. I think, you know, the actions, I would say the quality of how it looks really good. Like that trailer, I actually saw that trailer at the movies. It really pumped me up. I was like, whoa, I got to go see this.
Oh, that's where I saw it. Yeah. I saw it in the movie. Yeah.
So it's definitely got some new stuff going on. It's not bad.
Okay.
Oh, I've seen a few other things I must mention. I watched, the train is coming by. I watched Evil Dead, the remake. Horrible.
I heard that was some bullshit.
I mean, well made. I mean, it's gory and the special effects are out of control, but just that movie was so stupid to me. Like, I can't stand those sort of supernatural type movies, because you gotta, how do you fight the devil? Like, how do you really fight the demons? You can't, you know what I mean? And those movies irritate me because they always have the demon guys come and the evil forces, but where are the other forces of God? And how come they don't ever show up and empower the person to fight back? It didn't make any sense to me. And this movie, they do all the dumb cliches. It's just over the top, gory and crazy, but it's dumb. Like, I actually watched it over the course of 2 nights because it was so boring to me. I didn't want to watch it. My girlfriend wanted to see it. Okay. The other movie, whoa, something really funny going on with the sound. Hold on. Check. Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry about that, people. So the other movie I watched was the Justice League the Flashpoint Paradox.
Oh.
I believe it's what it's called.
Is that come out yet? That's already come out?
Yeah, it's out. And it is, you know, the new DC animated movie. It's based on the Flashpoint miniseries event that kickstarts the new 52.
Right.
And I would say it's good in the sense that it looks great. You know, the animation is really good. It's sort of very heavy Japanese influence that I can see on it. But the story is good. But if you know anything about the Flashpoint storyline, it was told over multiple books.
Uh-huh.
And they try to incorporate a lot of that into this movie. And to me, it's impossible to do it real justice. And even though I know what was going on, I was confused as like, how did he get to this? Like, how do you go from this scene to that scene? And they just skip. To me, at the very beginning, they skip something very important. And I was like, how did this happen? And then you're just in that Flashpoint world and you're dealing with all this other stuff. But I mean, in terms of how it looks, the action's out of control. This is definitely not for kids. Like, this is pushing the envelope to me and stuff. You know, the Batman character in this alone, you could have made a movie about that guy. Like, this is so interesting. You know, I would just say this, that Batman, it's not Bruce Wayne. And when you, in the books, it's played to you don't know who it is until you figure out who it is. When you figure out who it is, and it's interesting. It's like, whoa. And this is a Batman who's got the Glocks cocked. and he's killing people. He don't give a damn. Like, he's hardcore. So it's, and you know, Aquaman and Wolverine play big into this.
Wolverine.
Hilarious. Aquaman and Wonder Woman. yeah, Aquaman and Wolverine. This is a crossover.
I was going to say, I don't care how bad it is. I'm going to go get that.
Now, wouldn't that be a movie? No, but yeah, Wonder Woman is in this, Aquaman. So it's definitely worth seeing. I just think it's a little rushed. Yeah, so I saw that. I think that's it that I can remember.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Flashpoint, I'm going to go check that out.
Yeah, definitely see it.
Either legally or illegally. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll leave that to you. mentioned a couple movies I haven't seen, but man, there's been a couple of bombs recently. The R.I.P.D. movie.
Just say that without trying to laugh. All
right, R.I.P.D. That one just shot and went nowhere, flopped out. I think Red 2 didn't do that well either. Wasn't there another movie that came out?
Lone Ranger.
Oh, Lone Ranger. Yeah, that flopped out, man. Like, that's the one thing about Disney. They can put out some. They'll put out the big joint that'll just flop so hard. You'd be like, wow. But then they got like, you know, three or four of them Marvel bullets, and they just drop that down, and it doesn't matter anymore. But yeah, man, they got to stop making them big budget movies that nobody don't want to see that stuff.
I mean, I don't know. The Lone Ranger, again, who thought that was a good idea? Number one, Westerns don't do good, number one. Number two, who knows who the Lone Ranger is nowadays?
Right.
And number three, you got Johnny Depp wearing his crazy white makeup on his face. That, you know, I don't get it. It's not brain science or rocket science.
It's like, I can understand how somebody in a boardroom probably thought, you know, it'd be like pirates or something. But if they just dug deeper and they should do some research, like market research, like who really knows who that kid. If that's the case, they might as well just do like My Three Sons, the movie or something, like, or, you know what I mean? So obscure TV shows from back in the days that don't nobody know about and then think that it's going to be popular now. It just doesn't make sense. There's too many other things that could be made.
Wasn't Disney the same company that did John Carter a couple years ago?
Exactly. Which, not necessarily a bad movie, but again, nobody really knows much about it, and it doesn't really play well today. Like, that's the premise of it. But they like taking them old stories and retool them for today. I don't think they realize that it's not working. Like, it ain't working, man. You just stick with the Disney stuff, the Pixar. I would just be like, we ain't doing nothing but Pixar, Marvel and Star Wars. That's it. I don't want to see no other movies.
I mean, honestly, you're right. I mean, you could just live off of, you could eat off of Star Wars alone, because, I mean, I have a 2-year-old now that when Star Wars comes on, he's like up and dancing around.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. I was talking to my son the other day. I don't know how, because he has some Darth Vader tennis shoes. Now, these tennis shoes are amazing. They like, one, they light up, and then two, like, they speak. Darth Vader's voice comes out of the shoe. I was just like, wow, whatever. But so he was sitting there explaining to me how Anakin becomes Darth Vader. Now, keep in mind, this guy is 5 years old. And he's like, because he got burned up. Dad, he got burned up, Dad. That's why he was Darth Vader, because he got burned up. He got. I was like, wow. But they know these characters, man. That's a trip that they know.
So that's, I mean, Star Trek is kind of dead now. Star Wars is going to go forever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just generation after generation, man. You know, falling in love with the story. You know, the toys have been on sale since the first movie. Right? They ain't never went off the shelf. That's just, that in itself. The toys ain't really never left the toy shelf since 1980.
Wow. I mean,
that's the money maker right there. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, and you can put it out for any generation. The kids will go see it. Not too many things you can say about it, except for, like, you know, superheroes or the other things, right?
Right, right. But,
yeah. All right. Any last things before we wrap it up here?
I was going to say real quick, I mentioned to you offline that I'm back home in my hometown of Indianapolis, and out here at the Indiana State Museum, they have this really cool exhibit of all of the Star Wars props and models that were used in all 6 movies. So in the museum, you go up to the 3rd floor, right? And you walk into this room, and right in the center of the room, oh, Mike, it was like geek heaven, dude. In this glass case, they had this X-Wing fighter that was probably, I don't know, maybe 20 feet long, that was used in one of the, you know, in the very first Star Wars during the Death Star battle sequence. And then they had a Millennium Falcon, that was used for the asteroid sequence. I mean, the thing was like, it was huge. It was just, I'm going to put something together and throw it up on my blog site and so everybody can check it out. But that, I mean, it cost us a sizable amount of money to get in, and I was kind of complaining about it. Once I got in there, I was like, I would have paid twice, double.
Wow. Where is this at?
Huh?
Where is this at again?
This is at the Indiana State Museum. So, I mean, if you're not out in the Midwest, you're probably not going to be able to make it, but I assume it travels.
It would have to. Yeah.
They had the original life-size land speeder that was used for all of the far away shots. Like, there's a shot in the original Star Wars where they're going to Mos Eisley and Luke Skywalker said, oh no, I'm sorry. It's a scene where they're going back to Luke's home after he finds out, after he discovers that the stormtroopers have gone there to kill his aunt and uncle. And you can see the stormtrooper, the land speeder off in the distance, going across the screen. They showed the full size replica of that, life size replica. And it was just, it was like, this is all I need. This is it.
Wow. Yeah, I gotta check that out. Hopefully that comes up here. Hopefully that comes up here to the, because we have that sci-fi museum here at the EMP.
Okay.
You know, I bet you that. Well, because one time they had sort of a similar thing. They had a Battlestar Galactica exhibit here, and they had it was a life-size model of the ships that the fighter ships that the Galactica has.
Okay. All right.
They had one of those and the Cylon ship in there. It was humongous.
They also had the actual costume that David Prowse, I think his name is, he wore in the first Star Wars.
Oh, wow.
And
pictures and stuff?
Dude, did I take pictures? Are you kidding? I asked the woman, I said, look, I'll pay you $100. I'm not kidding. I said, I'll pay you $100 right now. You just let me get across the line, or get across the bar, and sit in that last meeting and take a picture. I give you $100 right now. Wow. She said, I understand where you come from, sir, but I can't lose my job.
Did you get menace in society? And I'll suck your... Anyway.
The only thing they didn't have, I was kind of disappointed, was they didn't have, I would have expected in any Star Wars collectors, you know, the props, whatever. They showed the, they had the original walkers, the AT-ATs from Empire Strikes Back. They didn't have any of the Death Star models, which I was kind of disappointed about. They had the actual model of the actual R2-D2 that was used in the film.
Okay. Hey, just wanted to share this and more Star Wars stuff. Now, recently they just had Star Wars Celebration Europe.
Okay.
Which is a big, I think they have them in different parts of the world. I don't know if it's every other couple years, but it's a very big deal. They actually had the original cast. I think everyone except for Han Solo was there. But there's a name, Kathleen Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
The lady who's the producer of the new one, she actually got up there and started speaking, and she says that they're really going to focus on making this a good movie and not be so heavy on the effects. She's talking about the importance of mixing the CG with practical filmmaking. She says, she said, "The conversation we're having all the time about Episode 7 is how much CGI. We're looking at what the early Star Wars film did. They used real locations with special effects. So for Episode 7, we're going to find some very cool locations. We're going to end up using every single tool in the toolbox." And she's talking about model makers and droids. So it looks like they're not going to just go like total CGI characters sort of thing. And then she talks about, you know, the story has to be on point, you know, regardless of all these effects. It ain't gonna be nothing if the story is not on point. So I actually got some high hopes that the qualities of the early movies have come back.
They have to. I mean, that's good news to hear that.
Yeah. So, all right. I think we're geeked out enough for tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Geeked Out here on podcastjuice.net. If you have any comments, please leave those on the site. You can also reach QStorm at his website, which is qstorm.com/lightningstrikes. And with that, we will see you next time.